Welcome to the Self-Esteem and Confidence Mindset with me, Johnny Pardo.
Welcome back to the Self-Esteem and Confidence Mindset podcast with me, Johnny Pardo. Today, I welcome Natanya to the show, where we're going to be talking about self-confidence, courage, reprogramming ourselves, and many, many more. So just a quick introduction to Natanya, and then we will dive into the conversation today. So in a journey marked with strategic mastery and an innate understanding of the human psyche, Natanya has carved the path through the realms of integrative wellness and customer behavior science, heralding a new era of growth and innovation. Her expertise has breathed life into ideas, transforming them into household brands and charting unprecedented successes. It's through this crucible of challenges and triumphs that she has emerged as a life warrior, a beacon for those seeking to navigate the complexities of life and the business with courage and insight. So welcome, Natanya, once again. Glad to have you on today. So yeah, like, first of all, it'd be really interesting to hear a little bit more about this life warrior and what this is for you.
Well, thank you so much for having me, first of all, Johnny. It's a moniker that's a little corny, I know, and someone gave it to me, and I'm not even sure how I feel about it, but I think it does encapsulate what at least I'm trying to do myself personally and help amplify in others. Warrior can connote something aggressive or violent, and I mean more about just being brave and showing up for life in all its forms and potentially pushing through, and, you know, whether that means, you know, busting through like a warrior or going trepidatiously forward, but going through some ideas or fixed thoughts that we have about who we are and what we can do and what we can achieve and how we can feel. And so I've gone through some personal transformations and career transformations that were pretty dramatic. And so I noticed, even though my official skill set is in behavioral science, you know, marketing, commercialization, this was the zone that everybody wants to talk about and have me share, you know, some tips and tricks that have been working. But it's all rooted in my core background in behavioral science.
Awesome. So you sound like you've got quite a passion, you know, a background in behavioral science, which is amazing. So yeah, with like the human psyche, obviously we mentioned that term a minute ago. Could you describe this for what is meant by like the human psyche for anyone who's unfamiliar with it?
Yeah, well, the way I think we're going to talk about it today is basically the you that you tell yourself you are automatically or subconsciously, meaning without thinking or without maybe even knowingly doing so. And it decides for you how you feel about certain food, jobs, people, smells, how you feel about your ability to move through, your ability to talk to yourself in a positive way or a negative way. And that's kind of what we mean when we talk about the psyche. It's kind of like your personal OS and how you navigate this world with it.
Oh, okay. No, I love the definition and talking about that a little bit. So like we were chatting a little bit about, well, it'd be useful to know a little bit about like how we can really identify with who we are. Cause a lot of us are like running around, we're hearing all these different things, right? And there's so many messages. Like, have you seen something that's helped you or maybe others to kind of really connect with themselves a little bit more?
Yeah, I mean, that's a really big and good question. And your podcast has, you know, the framework of confidence and self-esteem. And so when I think about those words and self-esteem, what does that even really mean? Believing in yourself, believing in your capabilities and your competence. I feel like it's tied to what you let yourself believe about yourself. And that could be something like, Johnny has this podcast, and now you think, I don't know, you want to go on TV and have a show, and you might think to yourself, well, that's impossible because I don't know anyone in that kind of media, or I'm not good enough to do this on this, on that scale, or whatever that might be, or I'm not qualified. And then how you kind of work through the potential of, but what if I did do that? What would that look like? And a lot of it has to do with imagining a future that doesn't exist today, and really imagining the details of that future. So if you think about most famous people throughout history, Stevie Wonder, Michael Jordan, you know, Martin Luther King Jr., folks who were born with a certain set of circumstances that might define a certain kind of life, but they had an idea in their mind of something bigger and greater that didn't exist. And the way they got there, and the way they tell it, is that they literally reframe their view of how they might exist in this world, and then you go towards it consciously and subconsciously.
Yeah, some great examples, some great names there, like Michael Jordan and you know, Martin Luther King, and everyone like who is trying to press forward. So, like, we were chatting, all those people obviously being very courageous and taking their steps. Like, for you, we were talking a little bit before the show as well, and you were saying, you know, you're just taking those actions. So for you, when you're sort of, you've been moving forward, or people you've studied, has it been a case of just like moving forward, taking that courage, or is there kind of a level of psychological work you have to do alongside that? Just really interesting to hear, because there's the one side where it's like, I'm working on myself and there's no action. There's some which is like, I'm going to take the actions, pushing through. Just be really interesting to hear how you kind of built that up in yourself.
So I think, you know, I want to be, because these are like generally huge, huge topics. So I'm going to break down the answers into like small specific examples, because it's tough to address it all. So I want to be respectful of, this is like a big thing, right? This is a complete flipping the script for a lot of people in how they move through the world. But sometimes this first step is just recognizing and, for lack of a better word, either surrendering or releasing into this idea of, you're not, the you are today isn't fixed. And whatever it is that you're looking for is possible. Like, it's kind of corny, but like, that is the first step. Like, and then using, like I was saying, language to reframe, well, what do you want? And define it. What do you want? Is it financial security? Is it a different gender identity? Is it a different career? I mean, whatever that is, start to imagine what that's like. Those are the first steps. Believe it's possible and start to think about what that can look like. And then these are not my, you know, I don't own this idea. This is, you know, been documented across neuroscience, psychology, positive psychology, in coaching fields, in neuroscience. You know, it's shown at many, many levels how we can affect our actual brains signaling and functioning ourselves. And that's what I mean about taking control of your subconscious or hacking your psyche. And it's really simple stuff, but it's not easy to do. And it takes a genuine, authentic dedication to it. And then, to also be clear, things like addiction or trauma triggers or PTSD and, like, you know, other things that are deeply rooted, it applies for those as well. It's just a little bit of a different process, but this is something that can be applied to any kind of life, whether it's, like I said, sort of a more personality level shift, like I want to be more outgoing, or I want to socialize more, but I'm an introvert, or something like, I have this trauma and I really don't want to live this way anymore. So I just wanted to be clear and careful in how I answer, to say it's kind of simple, but it's not an easy thing to do. So I want to give it that respect.
Yeah, yeah. And there's definitely a difference between like simple and things being easy. I found personally as well.
It's not overnight. It's not overnight, and that's okay.
Sorry, carry on.
Oh no, I was just saying, and it's not something you do overnight, but that's okay.
Yeah, totally. It's like going to the gym, right? I think of like going to the gym. It's actually quite simple. If I want to get, I know we've all got different body types and different goals and stuff, but it's like, if I want to get more in a better shape, I've got to go to the, you know, gym or exercise at least, you know, regularly, or if I want to physically be improve myself, right? And then probably eat something pretty decent alongside that, right? That's quite like a simple like process, but it's not easy, right? It's
But I would say that's another thing you made me think of, which is when you're thinking about making some changes. So let's say you've already started. Let's do this in a linear way, right? Like you decide you want to. That's number one. Number two, you decide that it's possible for you. Like I desire a different life or a different me in this life. And number two, it is possible, right? And you have to really believe it. And then three, I deserve this life I desire, right? Believe that you are worthy. And then what is it that I desire? So that's how far we've gotten in this little process, right? And then when we think about something, let's say physical health, okay? Like, because you said about the gym. One of the things for me was also about my physical health. I was very ill and in bed and had to relearn to walk and a lot of stuff going on. And then, and had, you know, a lot of weight gain, but I didn't like the gym. And so I just sort of decided that I guess, you know, working out isn't for me. But I will say it's just an allegory for this situation that I found something else. Like I found what was my thing was dance and movement in a different way. And it wasn't in the gym. And then over time I added, you know, strap on weights and little hand weights and, you know, to kind of build up to strength training and things like that. But I just didn't enjoy going to the gym or even really doing classic exercises like that at home. And that was keeping me from, I was just saying, I don't like to work out. And so it's really this other phase is about finding a small positive change you can do that you actually enjoy doing. And if that you can do, and it doesn't have to be radically like, I'm going to go to the gym every day, or I'm going to walk 5 miles if you're, you know, couch to 5K. It has, you know, pick something reasonable. Like, what do you like? Do you have a pet, a dog you can walk? Do you have a friend you can meet to walk? Do you like, you know, I said like dance or swimming or some or sport, you know, or hiking, you know, I don't, it really should be about what is it that you might be able to try that you're actually interested in. It's the same with little kids and reading when they say, wow, when we give them subject matter they're into, their reading goes up way in terms of their enjoyment and their aptitude and their skills. So I think it's important when you've gone through this, identify what you want to do differently, believe you can do some things differently and be differently and feel differently, and then pick things to change or work on that are reasonable. You don't change everything right away, and you do it in small steps, and you do it going towards things you like rather than telling yourself what you must not do.
Focusing on that direction. That's a good point about knowing like actually what you enjoy and what's relevant for yourself, and how that's going to move you forward rather than maybe just forcing yourself to. So yeah, I like that approach as well and putting that in. So yeah, like ultimately with a lot of us, like it's certainly what I've heard from sort of like listeners of this and experience in my own life, is a challenge with like self-sabotage. Like we're moving towards something and then we kind of like knock ourselves back sometimes, like when we're talking about these goals. Do you think that comes from actually not doing something you enjoy? Do you think it's kind of coming from the subconscious? Just be really curious to hear your thoughts.
So behavioral science has informed us about sort of these automatic processings, right? And there's what we call behavioral feedback loops. So it means that our actions guide our beliefs and vice versa, right? So the more you do or tell yourself something, the more it actually is true. And then it becomes your truth, but it can be undone. We in general, I'd say, especially in modern times, also are struggling with an always on culture and instant gratification. We want to eat, we press a couple buttons and there's food. We want to, you know what I mean? Make money, you do whatever and you get money. So I think, you know, transformation doesn't happen in a day, and it's not necessarily easy. It's not always like this beautiful metamorphosis from the caterpillar into the butterfly and everyone's playing classical music and clapping for you. It's hard. And sometimes you're going to fail, or you're not going to want to, or you're going to feel bad, or you're going to make a mistake. Or if you're changing, you know, your dietary habits, you know, you're going to have a day where you're somewhere and you eat a whole bunch of food that maybe was not the kind of thing that you had been wanting to focus on and put in your body. And the biggest, I guess, advice I could give that, again, isn't only my idea, this has been researched in terms of behavior change, is to just accept that no one's perfect and this is a journey and it's going to be a lot of steps forward and sometimes a few steps back. And the minute you kind of release the guilt or shame from any negative, either like you didn't do a thing you had wanted to, or you had done it incorrectly or something like that, and just let it go and then just start fresh for the next day, that's they found that, you know, people who are trying to make and break habits, if they skipped or had a slip, let's just say for whatever the habit was for one day, but then the next day kind of got back on track, it had no statistical difference in their overall ability to make that habit. But once they did 2 days in a row, the chances of them actually adopting that new habit went down significantly. And once they did 3 days in a row, it was, you know, much more likely that they wouldn't actually adopt this new habit. So it's kind of like I say, the language is clunky and corny, but like, just keep going is a big one, because as you go through, let's say for me, and there's a lot of books that I love, like Atomic Habits, where you take really small changes and honor and recognize that you're doing it, you know, like your own little, like, where's my ticker tape parade? I ate an apple, like whatever it is. It doesn't mean like completely overhaul your eating or completely overhaul your exercise. Pick something small that you can do today. And that something small may literally be a positive affirmation you privately tell yourself. And just keep on with that. And all of those things are progress. And honor that and celebrate that in your mind. We only seem to want to focus on chastising ourselves for the things we didn't do or did wrong, rather than honoring and celebrating the things, the actions, the positive steps you've taken. And that, even though it sounds corny, in about, you know, 14 to 21 days can really shift the way you actually subconsciously and consciously talk about yourself and move through the world.
Atomic Habits is an amazing book. I remember reading that. He was James Clear, I think, in there. I remember him mentioning something about having a, not meaning to go back to the gym example, but this was a gym example, but his client would just show up there for 5 minutes a day. That's all he had to do, was show up to the gym, didn't even have to work out. And then I think he built that as a habit and he was like, oh, I'm here now, and ended up, yeah, going into the gym.
Habits can make monumental shifts happen, because every action that we take essentially becomes this brushstroke in this masterpiece of our self-love, our self-esteem. And, you know, that's exactly right. And you can restructure your cognitive self. You can replace and challenge those beliefs that were holding you back, either in apathy or lethargy or self-loathing or whatever your barriers are, which most of us have. And you can switch it with empowerment truths. And then, like, it literally sets the stage for a confidence that then builds. But again, you know, it can be as simple as one small thing that you do for yourself, or a breathing exercise that you do. And then you check, maybe you start to check your blood pressure and notice a little change there. You know, there's the really, I wouldn't have maybe believed it as much until I experienced it, but I have been advocating it for a long time. But I would often, one of my challenges was setting the goal too high. Like you were saying, like, okay, I need to work out. So then you like have this whole thing and then you feel terrible when you don't do it. And you make this aggressive routine that you know will be like very intense. As someone who's a builder in business, you know, I like big jobs and big things to do. And what I found is in the work on myself, I had to invert my entire process and thinking about it, and even what I thought was accomplishment.
What do you mean by that? Like what you meant, thought was accomplishment. So
I mean, like celebrating every victory, no matter how small. Okay. And that kind of builds a reservoir of confidence. So,
okay.
Like I wasn't allowed to drink soda as a kid. And so, but when I would like be at someone else's house or somewhere, I'd be like, ooh, that's so exciting. Right. And then, so I didn't really have it much, but then there was a time in my life where I did. It was at work. It was like mid-afternoon lull. I wasn't eating quite properly. So I was getting that crash in the mid-afternoon. I didn't want coffee. And I would have a cola, a Diet Cola or whatever, which is like chemicals and crap, whatever. And then, you know, it was just part of what I did. And one of the changes I wanted to make, and this is going back several years, but still, was to not drink soda. So that seems like pretty obvious, but I still liked it. And I didn't have like a replacement. And I felt like I needed it in that time of day. So what I started with is, what if I just reduced it by like one can instead of like two or three that I was having? I like literally made it such a small thing that of course I could do that. And then I felt really good about it. And then I kind of was motivated to make it more and more. And until now, I don't look back. And a few times when I've been like, I think I want a sip of that, I actually am like, whoa, I can't believe I drank that.
Oh, wow.
But I mean, here and there, but you know, and that's another thing. If I have a sip, you know, two or three times a year, maybe sometime I'll have some, a little, need, want a little caffeine, but that's it. It's not something I even covet, but it took a while. And that's maybe not the best example, but just to say it was nothing. It wasn't like, okay, I overhauled my whole nutrition. No, I picked one thing. Or how about not dessert with every meal? Can I do that? And or swapping out one behavior for another. So, you know, if your impulse is to be quite introverted and you're struggling with that, maybe you start with like thinking about who makes you feel safe all the time or most of the time. And can you start with reaching out to them a little bit more, or, you know, making a new kind of friend, you know, that kind of thing, and start small. Like, it doesn't mean you have to go now to every party or work conference or whatever you do, or school club, and be the belle of the ball from being a wallflower. I mean, but I also want to say, but that's possible if you want it.
Yeah, sitting. Yeah, I often used to think, and I know many people I've sort of like coached on this, always think it's like got to be this massive jump. But yeah, I found sometimes at work with these small things. I love what you shared with your own personal examples of what an accomplishment doesn't mean to need to be this massive thing. It can just be cutting down on one or two cans a day, or like the introvert example you gave, they could just reach out to the someone close to them, which is amazing. And this is something you did in business as well, did you say? You've kind of narrowed down what you need to do whilst the essential things, I guess.
Yeah. And you know, one of them for me was, I have this, I like people, right? I'm like to think I'm generally, you know, friendly and open and enjoy socializing, you know, whether it's personal or professional. But I didn't like a lot of the media, like honestly, like podcasts and speaking at conferences and that kind of stuff. I didn't like it, and I felt very nervous. But for some reason, I didn't present that way. So people were really surprised. Like, what do you mean you're nervous? You just spoke to 5,000 people, like it was nothing. I'm like, yeah, I don't even know how I did that. I was really scared. I just did it anyway. So there is some of that, you know. I mean, the self-esteem is our internal mirror, right? And it reflects how we value and perceive ourselves in life. And people respond to you in ways, even subconsciously themselves, because of what you project out there. And then what happens is the confidence that you get by being a little more kind to yourself, perceiving yourself, speaking to yourself in a positive way, saying I'm on a journey or I'm on a path to work on A, B, and C, that fuels and propels us forward. And then those aspirations eventually, you know, become achievements. And maybe an achievement isn't necessarily to some people having one less soda a day, but, you know, getting chemicals out of all of my diet was actually my goal, which I did, but it did not happen right away.
But you did those bit by bit. And and also thanks for sharing the instance about public speaking in front of 5,000 people, because I know a lot of us can perceive, certainly I have, and people I spoke to have perceived someone as like, oh, they've got like no fears or anything like that. And what someone later has shared, what they're going through, like you did there, is really, really interesting. So I think it's a great role model message to share to people on that front. I just wanted to touch a little bit on the, it kind of links a little bit to back to the atomic habits and then, you know, moving forward with people. But like with your environment, have you found from that's had an influence on you at all? Like though the people you've been surrounded with, how that might have impacted you or not on your confidence?
That's a great question that I'd like to even invert in another way to say, when you go through a transformation of self, whether that be actions or something aesthetically, like a physical transformation or a mindset or a belief system, whether you shift your political beliefs or your religious beliefs or your career path, like whatever that is that you're trying to shift to get better and feel, because I'm assuming there's people wanting to shift, because to get confidence, to have self-esteem, you have to be happy with yourself in some way. You have to love who you are. And the reason usually that's in conflict is because you don't. And what usually it means is you're not doing the thing you're supposed to, or you're not living the life you imagine for yourself. And that's why you're having that, you know, conflict there and loss of confidence and esteem. So like, I just totally, oh my gosh, this is recorded. I forgot what we were saying. I forgot what I was going to say next. I'm so sorry.
That's all right. No, we were just touching on the role of environment.
The role of environment. Sorry. So what I was going to say is, oh my goodness, I was going to say that, so when you go through this experience or as you're even exploring it, you may find that some people in your current, let's say, friend set or your work environment or your family might be your best cheerleaders and supporters, but sometimes you may find that they aren't. And I'm not putting any judgment here. I'm just saying, because they're used to you, the you that they know. So if you start asking a little differently or wanting to do different things, some people might be jarred by that, and you may or may not have the same friends. I mean, some people, whether it's, you know, they want to cut back their alcohol or other recreational substances and things like that, they may find that the people they were hanging out with either give them a hard time and say you're no fun, or give them guilt or shame or whatever, and or they don't want to be around those people. They realize, wait, I thought those people were really fun, but now that I see this in a different light, I don't feel that way. And again, I'm not judging people taking stuff. I'm just using that as an example of when sometimes as you're shifting, your environment might not shift with you in the same way, especially if you've been doing things the same way for a long time. And that's what people in your life come to expect, and to be prepared for that, but also to be okay with that and make sure that you're always in a environment. I believe the environment is also going to resonate back for your support, because if you feel, imagine it's like a tightrope, and if you're out on the tightrope by yourself and there's no net, that's what an unsupportive environment is like for you to have self-esteem and confidence. So you need that net there, and you need to know that it's there.
I love the analogy of a net. Just, yeah, trying to make sure that that's behind you, because, yeah, really great point. So, Natanya, I want to ask you something we always ask guests of the show, and it's what would be either something you've shared today or something else, your number one confidence tip for the listener today?
I think it's that words are the architects of our reality, and they can build that bridge between the current self and our potential. And our potential self is that self, that ideal self that we love, and therefore have that self-esteem and self-love and confidence. And if you can change your words, you can transform your world. And that it's hackneyed, but forgive me, that positive self-talk, that openness with your own self privately and publicly, that's that first step to the confident self.
Words, how much of an impact sometimes I've not even noticed that they've been on me. So yeah, thank you for that one, Natanya. I think that's a very valuable insight, and just to remember, words are always coming in, right? So be very mindful. So Natanya,
you know, we throw it away. We say very flippantly, like, I'm no good at this, or I suck at that. And I, even my children or, you know, people around me, I'm like, can we reframe that? And it's, you know, it's annoying people too, I admit. Right. But I'm like, don't say that, because even things that we say, you know, sarcastically and joke, like, you put it out there and that's becomes reality.
Yeah. Very interesting. I've known people who just like joke said, oh, I'm just like the thick, whatever, like person in the room. And they kept saying it again and again, and you thought, not going to help their relationship themselves. So, yeah, they also agree with the sarcastic way you can say it can be.
I'm not saying never have fun or don't poke fun. Yeah. I just mean pejorative. I mean, self-deprecating. I was like the queen of that. And I'm working to be better, you know, even now. And I just realized when I stopped talking that way, I stopped feeling that way about myself. Imagine.
not just the coincidence. Love it. So Natanya, thank you so much for coming on today. Where can the listener find you if they want to find out a little bit more about you or your work?
The best place is probably LinkedIn. And, you know, my name is unusual to spell. So if you can spell it right, you can find me. And I have, you know, website, you know, my email is just the general email is contact@myname.com. But there's lots of different ways. I'm involved in doing some large scale things that I'm pretty excited about that are hopefully going to help with mental wellness in this country and in globally, and get people access to care and break down some stigma and barriers. And all of this starts from within ourselves. So anyone who's on that journey, you know, obviously happy to try and connect people with resources. I have a team of support to help with the inbound. So just open to, you know, hearing from anyone who would like to learn more.
Oh, great. Thank you once again, Natanya. We'll be sure to link your information up in the show notes so the listener can connect with you and find out more about your great work. So once again, a big thank you for coming on today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Very welcome. So that concludes our episode for today. And remember, you are in control of your own self-esteem and confidence.